Grace be unto you and peace from the God of heaven, the God who has graciously placed into our trembling hands that glorious gift. The glorious gift of his holy word. Amen. Please rise as we listen to the words that will serve as our sermon text for today. Our text for this morning is written in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. This is the word of our God. Please be seated. Dear fellow heirs of the Lutheran Reformation, as you and I scan the religious landscape of our society today, it is certainly not very difficult for us at all to see that the prevailing wind that has swept through so many Christian churches today is something called ecumenicalism. Ecumenicalism is the teaching which emphasizes that Christian churches should drop all of those denominational lines that tend to separate them and join together in one great, big, happy family. Now, on the surface, that sounds actually pretty good, doesn't it? Imagine what an organization like that could actually accomplish in this world. But when you drill down just a little deeper, you easily see that ecumenicalism not only spells disaster for God's church here on this earth, but it also plays right into the hands of the church's enemies. Why? Because whether we like to acknowledge it or not, there are churches today that teach and tolerate and even promote error, things that the Bible describes as false teachings. Today, Reformation Sunday, is the one day out of the entire Christian church year when you and I can unabashedly bring out our picture of Martin Luther and hold high the banner of historic Lutheranism. And if ever there was a portion of Scripture perfectly suited for a celebration such as this, it is our text for today, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. So let's rejoice today, my friends. On the basis of this portion of God's holy word, let's rejoice and thank God for our Lutheran heritage. Now, before we go any further, I want to make sure it's very clear that we are not here today to be bashing other churches. As many of you know, I have family members who belong to other churches. I have very dear friends who belong to other churches. The same may hold true for each and every one of you. We can never, ever lose sight of the fact that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, who came into this world to save us from our sins, is a member of the Holy Christian Church, the Communion of Saints. At the same time, We cannot turn a blind eye to the fact that the various churches that we see in our communities are teaching some very different things. Even the Lutheran Church runs the gamut from being very liberal to being very conservative. I honestly believe that I am a Christian purely by the grace and the power of God alone. At the same time, I am a Lutheran Christian, and I am a member of an historic Lutheran synod by choice. As I read and study my Bible, I have yet to find a church whose teachings so closely parallel those of Scripture as the Wisconsin Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod and those who are in fellowship with us. And so with that in mind, let's see how our text for today does indeed lead us to thank God for our Lutheran heritage. Paul's letter to the Romans gives us an unprecedented and unparalleled insight into how we mortal sinful human beings are justified, that is, declared not guilty in the eyes of the one and only living God. Paul begins our text for today by having us look at the root cause of all of our problems, sin. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." If you went to your doctor for your annual checkup, how would you feel if a year later you learned that your PSA test, the test that detects prostate cancer, was way up there in the double digits, or your mammogram revealed a very suspicious lump, but your doctor told you, "Everything's fine, go home and enjoy your life. You are in as good of health as anyone your age could expect." Would you be upset when you finally found out the truth, especially if it was too late for the doctors to do anything about it? Tragically, that is what many religious doctors are doing in many Christian churches today. Sin is like a spiritual cancer with which every single human being is born. Left untreated, sin will always cause death. And not just physical death, but eternal death in hell. To see just how serious the cancer of sin is, all we need to do is to look into the mirror of God's holy law. The God of heaven tells us that if we want to live with him in the glory and in the perfection of his heavenly home, then we must be holy. We must be perfect, just as he is perfect, just as he is holy. But when we look into the mirror of God's holy law, what do we see? When we look into the mirror of God's holy law, we are silenced, as Paul says here in our text. When we look into the mirror of God's holy law, we see that we have not kept even one of the commandments, much less all 10 of God's commandments. When God's holy law is proclaimed faithfully, in the way that it is found recorded for us on the pages of Scripture, it always leads to the powerful realization that we are sinners. Sinners who will be held accountable by our holy, just, perfect, and almighty God. That is a message that does not go over well, my friends, especially in our society today. Like the doctor who tells people that even though they have cancer, there is nothing to worry about, go home and just live your life as though nothing is wrong. There are many churches today that downplay the seriousness of sin. They tell their people that sin is not all that big of a deal. They convince them that deep down inside, we're all basically good people. And if given the right stimuli, given the right opportunities, given the right encouragement, then that goodness will rise to the surface until eventually everyone including God, will have to admit that we are worthy, or at least worthy enough, to merit eternal life in heaven. As much as it may hurt us, as much as it may embarrass us, as much as it may cause us to squirm in our chairs, the historic Lutheran Church faithfully proclaims God's law in all of its severity. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Even our righteous acts are like filthy rags in the eyes of God. That's the message of the law, my friends. That's the message that Paul says silences the entire human race. Martin Luther once wrote, "The error of neither knowing nor understanding what sin is usually brings with it another error, that of neither knowing nor understanding what grace is." I have long taught people that if we do not recognize the seriousness of our own sin, then we will never be able to appreciate the glory of God's amazing grace. That thought leads us to yet another reason as to why we are to thank God for our Lutheran heritage. Although the gospel of Jesus Christ is indeed proclaimed in other churches, in the historic Lutheran Church, the gospel is allowed to shine in both word and sacrament, in all of its glory and in all of its beauty, unfettered by human tradition, unshackled by work righteousness. This sweet, simple message of the gospel is what Paul is emphasizing when he says in our text, "But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." There are only two forms of righteousness that are being proclaimed in this world. There is work righteousness, and there is faith righteousness. Throughout his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul reveals that work righteousness cannot, does not, and will never work. No matter how hard we work, no matter how long we work, our works will never gain us entrance into the eternal paradise of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Faith righteousness is what God's holy revealed word has clearly and consistently proclaimed down through the ages. By believing and trusting that Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God, who came into this world to live a perfect life in our place, innocently suffer and die on the cross to pay for our sins, and then physically rise from the dead to guarantee that we are justified. Through this precious, wonderful vehicle that we call faith, you and I have been given a robe of absolute perfect righteousness. This robe of righteousness, which is dipped in the blood of the Lamb, is what guarantees to us entrance into our Heavenly Father's kingdom. In other words, my friends, your salvation is not dependent on anything that you do. No, rather, your salvation is completely dependent on what your God has done for you. This is what the pure, sweet, simple message of the gospel proclaims. We are saved purely by grace, through faith in what Jesus has done for us. This is also the message that the historic Lutheran Church has consistently proclaimed down through the ages. There is no need for penance or purgatory. Christ's death on the cross has completely paid for all of your sins. There is no room for personal decisions or altar calls. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who creates and sustains the gift of saving faith in a person's heart through the power of his holy word and through the power of his holy sacraments. There is no need to legislate to people that if they want to be good Christians or if they want to become better Christians, then they need to do this and this and this and avoid doing that and that and that. We strive to live our lives in loving thankfulness to the God who has freely given to us the gift of eternal salvation. We strive to grow and to mature in our faith. We strive to willingly serve our God and willingly serve each other, not because we have to, but because we want to. When you put all of that into one nice, neat little package, then you have the perspective on Scripture that is known as Lutheranism. We are saved purely by grace, by faith, and by Scripture alone. That is the battle cry of the historic Lutheran Church. And as Paul says in the closing words of our text for today, that is also yet another reason as to why we are to thank God for the heritage that we enjoy as Lutheran Christians. Paul writes, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." I try not to make a big deal out of the fact that we are members of a fellowship of believers known as the Wisconsin Synod or the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, not because I'm embarrassed by it, not because it makes me feel uncomfortable, but because I want to make sure that when it comes to your faith, and when it comes to your life as a child of God, you are focused on Scripture over and above everything else, including what synod we belong to. We need to be reading, studying, and examining what God has revealed to us on the pages of his holy word. When we know what our Lord wants us to believe, then we can take what the pastor teaches, then we can take what our congregation teaches, then we can take what our synod teaches and lay it side by side with what God teaches. When all of those teachings are in alignment with each other, then we have the confidence of knowing that we belong to an Orthodox fellowship of believers. But if those teachings contradict each other, my friends, well, then I'm afraid that we'll have to be looking for another church to belong to and to worship. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. For many, many centuries, that simple, central message of Scripture was all but lost to many of God's people here on this earth. Then on October 31st, 1517, a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Dr. Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and the Lutheran Reformation was born. Through the work of Dr. Martin Luther, and through the work of countless dedicated pastors and teachers and laymen, the message of salvation by grace alone, by faith alone, and by Scripture alone is being proclaimed right down to this very day. And so as we pause to celebrate this Reformation Sunday, my friends, let's first of all thank God for our Lutheran heritage. But then let's also make sure that we ask the good Lord to give us whatever is necessary so that we can take that heritage that has been faithfully handed down to us and faithfully handed down to our children and our grandchildren. To God be the glory. Amen.